hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here with you. We are live. Welcome, welcome. Sorry I'm a little late. I had to get back from the hospital with Chris. I'll give you an update on his mom in a minute. But welcome to everybody jumping on in the United States and around the world. Welcome. So glad to have you on tonight. And to our moderators and Ark of Grace team, thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. So, yes, tonight we definitely are going to get ready to rumble because this is going to be the eclipse part four. There is so much more to talk about. This is going to blow your mind, some of these things that we're about to get into. But let me open up in prayer, and I have a few announcements. I'm going to give you an update on Chris's mom, and then from there, we're going to get into everything for tonight. So, Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we come before you. Father, we praise you that you are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up, far above every power, principality, and might. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. We humble ourselves before you this day, asking you to forgive us of our sins, Lord. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Father. Father, we praise you. Your mercies are new every single day. And we acknowledge, Lord, that you sent your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the earth. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He redeemed us. He made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation when he said, "It is finished." And Lord, we praise you that he rose again in 3 days. And after appearing to many, ascended back into heaven, took his rightful, victorious place at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is our advocate day and night before your throne, and we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we invite your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the presence of the Ruach HaKodesh, Father God, to go forth, Lord, that the power of your presence, Lord, would saturate, Lord, the atmosphere, Lord, that people would tangibly feel your presence, Lord, that you would go, Lord, before me in this, Father God, Lord, lead and guide us in all wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Fill us with all wisdom, Father God, and counsel, Lord, from you, Lord, in Jesus' name. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth in Jesus' name. Father, allow us the humble privilege, Lord, of being vessels of your power. And Father, take all the glory for yourself. Father, we just, in the name of Jesus Christ, block every bit of censorship and interference, Father God, on this broadcast, Lord, that it is dismantled, destroyed, disabled in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. We apply the blood of Jesus, Father. Take all the glory for yourself. Let your name be glorified above all. You are the potter. We are most certainly just the clay. Without your breath of life in us, every breath we have is because of you. We are the dust of the earth, Lord. Without your breath of life in us, Father, we acknowledge that this day, Lord, you are the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. You are our shield, our glory, and the lifter of our heads. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen. 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 And Sadie's back. I just took her off the desk a few minutes ago, and she's back up. So, and she's sitting on my pad where all my announcements are. So, that's okay. She's moving. First of all, update on Chris's mom. So yesterday I was on with Andrew Sorcini and I gave an update. Chris's mother was taken by ambulance to the hospital yesterday. She is fighting sepsis and she has quite a bit of kidney stones. And she's also fighting advanced Alzheimer's. So please pray and continue to pray. I took Chris up today. That's why I was late, because I had to take him up to see her. We had to wait for her to move up to a room from the ER. And so basically I had to take him up there to see his dad and his mom. And basically they're going to have to do some kind of procedure to break up these stones. So please pray for his mom and pray for Chris in this, because for him to process this, it's a lot on him and it's a little exhausting for his mind. And so basically, thank you for your prayers and we will definitely keep you updated. We so appreciate it. I know Chris appreciates it. He's so exhausted right now. He's upstairs, in the TV room, basically, you know, just kind of decompressing. But he told me to tell all of you he so appreciates it. And I know he'll be on soon to tell you himself. So we thank you for that. Secondly, the gala. Our Ark of Grace Sanctuary Gala is coming up. You must RSVP by April 10th. It is May 3rd, 2024 at the Links at Unionvale. It's a beautiful golf course. They're working with us with the animals. In fact, from 5 to 6 p.m., there's going to be a meet and greet, and you are going to get to meet some of the animals of Ark of Grace. So you could either Venmo, right there, we have the information for Venmo, or you could go to arkofgrace.org/events, and it will give you other ways to pay. So we just wanted to give everybody a chance for that. We hope to see many of you there. Our team is very excited about this gala, and we're looking forward to it. Okay. Bunny adoption. We need your help out there. There are bunnies in the New Jersey area, okay? In the northern part of New Jersey, desperately need homes. This woman desperately needs to find these bunnies homes. There's quite a few of them, but you can contact Crystal. And if you can give these bunnies a home, they desperately need a home. We actually took some of them out of this situation, the ones that needed the most medical care. So if you can help, please call Crystal. We would so appreciate if some of you can step up and adopt these bunnies. If you do, please let us know. Send us pictures. I've got to grab Sadie because she's pacing back and forth across the screen. And we cannot have this, honey, while mommy's teaching. Okay. Okay. So, animal posts. We have animal update photos for you, and then we're going to get into the eclipse. So, there's Cyrus out on the back deck, my happy boy Cyrus. You always see him in here during broadcasts. That, I believe, is Hannah. We have three peacocks, Mr. Pete, Hero, and Hannah. Hero and Hannah are peahens. They are females. And so there is she is in her nice little shed there hanging out. She's actually perching there. She's perching on a piece of wood. That is Joshua and Caleb. So Joshua and Caleb were lab bunnies that were actually rescued and then brought to Ark of Grace. And so basically that they have been doing wonderful and they're thriving. Here's Bixby. We love Bixby. He looks like he had half his bang shaved and he has one eyebrow and he's absolutely adorable. He's still a little spooked by Cyrus. And Cyrus loves cats, but he moves very fast. So we're trying to get Bixby and Cyrus together to be friends. Just like Chester. Here's Chester, Missy, and Cyrus hanging out downstairs near my office, actually. And there's Duchess out with Cyrus enjoying the nicer weather now that we are going through the big thaw in New York, although it was 29 degrees last night. So apparently the weather is still confused about what it's supposed to be doing this time of year, but it has been getting warmer. So there's Duchess out and about enjoying the weather. And those are our animal updates. We do have a Facebook page for the Animal Sanctuary. Ark of Grace Sanctuary Facebook page. Please like and follow if you can. You can find them on Facebook there. Our team does an amazing job of keeping that page up. And you will get plenty of animal updates there. Also, if you could like and subscribe this YouTube channel, Ark of Grace Ministries, and if you could go to Rumble and subscribe to our Ark of Grace Ministries channel on Rumble, and we are Ark of Grace Ministry on Facebook. So just to be clear, we are Ark of Grace Ministry with a Y on Facebook. So if you could go like and subscribe to those places, we would greatly appreciate it. Okay, now, let's get ready to rumble indeed, because this is what this is going to be. I mean, this is like the gift that keeps on giving. And I actually have to thank Pastor Rick and Jonah, because they sent me some tidbits before I even put this together. And I took them and I ran with it and I did more digging and I found out even more prophetic, just incredibleness having to do with this eclipse in this time period. So let's get into this. You're going to find this fascinating. We are going to put the notes up on the ministry blog. at arcofgrace.org so you can go get them then, print them out. I know some people that keep binders of all these notes, but it's free. So you could just go get them when we have them up after. So let's talk about, we're going to recap quickly. Solar and lunar eclipses in the Bible. Okay, we have to recap this, and this is going to be for good reason, okay? So, in the closing days of Herod the Great, he was presented with a crisis called the Golden Eagle Incident. What Herod did is he placed a golden eagle over the entrance to the temple, which the Jews found blasphemous. Although he professed that it was an offering dedicated to the Lord, it was regarded as a desecration of the temple by two rabbis by the name of Matthias and Judas, who provoked a group of more than 40. Now, keep in mind that number 40, okay? 40 individuals into pulling down the eagle. So that's interesting, right? 40 individuals go and they pull down the idol that was lifted up above God's temple. Okay. Herod's soldiers captured and executed the participants. He was a very wicked king, including Matthias and Judas. After relating this sordid incident, Josephus comments that night, after Matthias and Judas were executed, there was an eclipse of the moon, which I believe means there was a blood moon the night that this happened. Now, this blood moon's going to come into play in a little bit. So this is why we're touching on this. So there was a blood moon the night he did that. This was the only reference to a lunar eclipse in all the writings of Josephus. Perhaps a modern historian would not have mentioned it, judging that an astronomical event like an eclipse is independent of the activities of man, unless it is preceded by some important occasion, such as a battle, that influenced the decision whether or not to go to war. In the ancient world, however, an eclipse was regarded as an omen or portent whenever it happened. Okay, so it was regarded as an omen and a very serious sign or warning whenever these happen. For Josephus, the eclipse in the night after Herod was put to death, the two protesters, was a sign of displeasure from God. So the blood moon was a sign that Herod had shed innocent blood and had persecuted the people of God that stood up against what he did, desecrating that temple. This is shown by the fact that Josephus describes immediately after the mention of the eclipse, Herod's physical suffering, a suffering from which he could find no relief until his death at some, now listen to this, until his death at some time between the eclipse and Passover. Now keep that in mind, that window, right? Because after this lunar eclipse happens, Herod is struck with a horrible illness. And on top of it, he dies somewhere in between the eclipse and Passover. In the Antiquities passage, the eclipse and Herod's torment signified the same thing: God's solemn judgment on Herod after he put to death individuals more righteous than himself. So between the eclipse and Passover, Herod dies for the persecution of God's people and the innocent blood he shed. Okay? Interesting that Herod put a golden eagle on the temple where the Jews worshiped, and an Ishtar-looking golden statue was placed upon the New York City courthouse. In a way, it's that same spirit that wants to lift itself above Almighty God, because a golden eagle is placed upon the temple where worship occurs of God, right? And then an Ishtar-looking statue that is also golden is placed atop the New York City courthouse, which is where the seat of the judge is. So because this foul, ancient, blasphemous spirit wants to be worshipped above God and desires to usurp the law, this is why you see these things happen the way they do. Now, this year, the time between the full solar eclipse, which is on April 8th, and the beginning of Passover is 14 days. That window between the eclipse and Passover, that is the window when Herod died. but the window between the eclipse and Passover this year is 14 days, which is double sevens. So I would watch this 14-day window very close, because I believe that's going to be a volatile window that will only increase after Passover. But I believe that window is going to be incredibly pressure filled. So I would just keep that in mind, giving what went on with Herod within a similar window. I would just keep that in mind. Now, Jonah, another famous eclipse, this time of the sun, so a full solar eclipse, may have played a part in the account of Jonah and the Ninevites. The time of Jonah's preaching in Nineveh can only be estimated generally from the Bible. 2 Kings 14:25 says that Jeroboam II, king of Israel, restored the northern and eastern borders of Israel according to the word of the Lord spoken by the prophet Jonah, son of Amittai. Jeroboam II began a corregency with his father Jehoash in 793 BC and reigned alone. Okay, so he began this from 793 to 792 BC and reigned alone from 782 to 781 late summer or early to 782 or 781. Okay, so he reigns alone and he begins 782 to 781 around that time BC to late summer or early fall of 753 BC. And there are multiple authors here quoted as researching this. One is Thiel, one is McFall, one is Young. Assuming that Jonah's prophecy of restoration came early in the reign of Jeroboam, Jonah's ministry would have been in the first half of the 8th century BC, from about 793 to 750 BC. During this time, the Assyrian eponym Canon records an eclipse of the sun that occurred in the eponym of Bir Segale in the month of Simanu. Modern astronomical calculations date this eclipse to June 15th, 763 BC. Now remember this date, and show it was a total eclipse as it passed near Nineveh. For historians, the importance of this eclipse is that it provided an absolute date that allowed assigning BC years, okay? So that was important and kind of coinciding it with the Assyrian canon. Also, this played a role because they regarded that as an omen. So if a solar eclipse happened in close proximity, viewable from Nineveh, before Jonah walked into Nineveh and announced 40 days and this entire city is going to be destroyed, that is why they repented so fast and they put on sackcloth and they humbled themselves, because they took that eclipse as a sign they were going to be destroyed. And that came, I believe, right before Jonah comes into Nineveh and announces its destruction. Okay, now, thirdly, in 1872, J.R. Hind published a paper in the British Scientific Journal called Nature, in which he noted that the moon was eclipsed on the generally received date of the crucifixion, April 3rd, 33 A.D. Bible scholars paid little or no attention to this observation because the best astronomical calculations available at the time showed that the eclipse would not have been visible from Jerusalem. However, in the 20th century, there was a major advance in the accuracy of astronomical calculations, due largely to studies of the change of the Earth's rate of rotation over the centuries. So using ancient astronomical observations from Babylon and China, the rate of slowing of the Earth's rotation is not known precisely enough so that the timing of events such as the rising of the moon or the sun as viewed from any point on Earth and at any time in the last 2,000 years can be known within about 3 minutes. So in 1981, a British scientist who had learned of the improvements in astronomical accuracy thought it might be interesting to revisit calculations for the eclipse of AD 33. Colin Humphreys, who was teaching at Oxford at the time, asked Oxford astrophysicist Graham Waddington to determine whether the lunar eclipse would have been visible at Jerusalem, and if so, at what time it would have been observed. Very fittingly, their findings were published in the same scientific journal that had published Hind's study 111 years earlier. So the study done by Humphreys and Waddington was in 1983. The results were as follows. Moonrise in Jerusalem on the evening of Friday, April 3rd, AD 33, was at about 6:20 p.m., right after sunset. The part of the moon that appeared first was in full shadow of the earth. After several minutes, the remainder of the moon was seen. This lower part was in the partial shadow of the earth. The eclipse lasted until about 7:11 p.m., at which time the moon was restored to its usual brightness and coloration. Now, so when Christ died that night, there was a lunar eclipse. That night, there was a blood moon. So Herod dies, there's a blood moon. Christ dies, there's a blood moon. There's a lunar eclipse. Now, it does say darkness fell over the land for 3 hours while Christ was on the cross, but we don't know if that was a solar eclipse or the Lord brought in such dark clouds to cover the sun to bring darkness onto the earth. It doesn't specify exactly how that darkness came onto the earth, but the eclipse lasted until 7:11 p.m. Now, if we go back to the beginning, Genesis 7:11. Genesis 7 is where Noah enters the ark, the Tabah, which is ark in Hebrew, the covering that would take the beating so he would be covered. Genesis 7:11 says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst open and the floodgates of the sky were opened. This was the day the ark began to take the beating, and Noah and his family and the animals of the earth were saved and protected. So 7:11 p.m., that blood moon ends. And at the beginning, Genesis 7:11 is where Noah enters the ark and is covered, and the ark begins to take the beating, and those dark clouds close in for it to rain the way it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, back to Christ for a minute and being on the cross. The gospel writers describe further disturbances. About noon, a darkness overtook the land that lasted for 3 hours. Now, we're not told whether it was clouds, a dust storm, a solar eclipse, but then at approximately 3 p.m., when the figure on the central cross died, meaning Jesus Christ, when he dies, there was an earthquake, something that we no longer associate with divine displeasure, although I think you still can associate it with that, but which must have had the significance for at least one individual, because when that earthquake happened, the Roman centurion soldier who was stationed near the cross with Jesus, he said and concluded that the righteous man who had just died was truly the Son of God. Now, this is described in Matthew 27. In fact, Matthew 27:45 says, now from the sixth hour, which is noon, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m. Now, so from the sixth hour, darkness comes over the land until the ninth hour. In Genesis 7:11, what does it begin with? In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the sixth hour of Noah's life, he enters the ark. They enter into the ark. Now it's dark in there pretty much in the ark. I mean, they don't have electricity in there. So in the sixth hour of Noah's life, he enters the ark. In the sixth hour, when Jesus was on the cross, darkness fell over the land. Now Noah enters the ark under God's command. And what happens when Noah enters the ark? Darkness starts to come over the land because the rain clouds and the storm clouds were coming in, as well as these, I don't even know what to call them, but like the water within the earth just being opened up and just allowed to completely start flooding. And so the ark begins to take the beating and the heavy rain as darkness comes over the land to protect Noah, his family, and creation, to redeem them from the wickedness in the earth. When darkness came over the land, that was the last 3 hours of Jesus's life, where he was about to redeem humanity from the wickedness on the earth. He was about to purchase us. So, at approximately 3 p.m., that is when Jesus, Yeshua, dies. He says, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," he quotes in scripture. Okay, now, in Genesis 7 through 8, now you're going to see how this all goes together. Water prevails on the earth 150 days. It takes another 150 days in Genesis 8 for the water to abate or recede. 150 plus 150 equals 300. How long did darkness come over the land? 3 hours. If you take a colon and you put it between the three and the two zeros, you get 3 o'clock, which is the time Christ died and redeemed us fully. So I'll say that again. Between Genesis 7 and 8, water prevails on earth 150 days. And then it takes another 150 days in Genesis 8 for the water to recede. If you add 150 and 150, you get 300. Now, darkness was over the land for 3 hours. But then if you take a colon and you put it between the three and the two zeros, you get 3 o'clock, which is the time that Christ died on the cross and redeemed us fully. Now that we have covered that biblical portion of it, the eclipse of 2024. Okay, April 8th, 2024, right? This is when this full solar eclipse is set to happen for the first time in 7 years. Now, the eclipse, the first eclipse was in August of 2017. Now, we had a leap year this year, so we have to add an extra day. But if you take the eclipse of 2017, the time frame between that and the eclipse that is set to occur on April 8th, 2024, it is 6 years, 6 months, 6 weeks, and 6 days. It would have been 5 days, but because of the leap year, it's 6 days since the 2017 eclipse. 6666. 6 years, 6 months, 6 weeks, and 6 days. Now, if you take the leap year away, it's 6 years, 6 months, 6 weeks, and 5 days since the 2017 eclipse. Now, if you add up 6 years, 6 months, 6 weeks, and 6 days, 6 times 4 equals 24. Passover this year begins April 22nd, 2024. April 24th, 2024 is during Passover this year. So that number 24 falls smack at the beginning of Passover, right? Now, this is also interesting. 2 times 4 is 8. In 2016, President Trump won the election and he became president. That is 8 years since he's been in office. So 2 times 4 is 8. That's 8 years since he's been in office. The last time he was in office was in 2016. Now, The Supreme Court is set to hear the presidential immunity case involving Donald Trump April 25th, 2024, in the middle of Passover. Smack in the middle of Passover, the Supreme Court is now set to hear this presidential immunity case, which is incredible because that's what they moved it to. Okay, this is where they set it on the calendar. Also, Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial in New York has been delayed. It was supposed to start the day after Purim. It's been delayed now until at least mid-April, which is that window between Purim and Passover. It actually could begin right on the heels of Passover. Technically now, this hush money trial is set to start soon after the eclipse and on the heels of Passover. And we actually have an article about that that we can show you, and I'll read it to you. Judge delays Trump's Manhattan trial until at least mid-April. A New York judge on Friday delayed Donald J. Trump's criminal trial in Manhattan until at least mid-April, postponing the only one of Mr. Trump's four criminal cases that appeared set to begin. The delay, lasting 30 days from the judge's Friday decision, stems from the recent disclosure of more than 100,000 pages of records that may have some bearing on the case. Citing the records, Mr. Trump's lawyers sought a 90-day delay of the trial or an outright dismissal. While the Manhattan prosecutors who brought the case proposed a postponement of up to 30 days. So this now is set, instead of the day after Purim, it's set to begin in close proximity after the eclipse and on the heels of Passover, as it stands now. This could change again. The 2024 eclipse, the path of it will also pass over more cities and densely populated areas than the 2017 path did. This will make it easier for more people to see totality. So an estimated 31.6 million people live in the path of totality this year, compared to 12 million people that were in the path of totality in 2017. An additional 150 million people live within 200 miles of the path of totality. Now, 150. If you add that together, you get six. One plus five, and then there's the zero, gets six. Six is the month of June on our calendar, right? Now, in the sixth hour, darkness came over the land when Jesus hung on the cross. Okay? It was also in the month of June that Jonah went into Nineveh and declared within 40 days that that entire city would be destroyed. Okay, so keep that in mind. Now you take the path, the people in the path this year of totality is 31.6 million. Oh my goodness, I just saw something else here. Hold on here. Hold on. I'm putting it in right now. Okay, 31.6 million. 31.6 backwards is the date 613. It's 613. You have to watch around this date of June 13th because the full solar eclipse over Nineveh occurred approximately June 15th when Jonah went into Nineveh. This is 2 days. This is no coincidence because this eclipse is passing over eight cities. It's over eight now. There's more than eight cities in North America named Nineveh. And so 613 is very close to the date of June 15th when Jonah went into Nineveh and pronounced within 40 days it would be destroyed. Also, if you take a colon and you put it between the three and the one, you get 316. You get John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he sent his one and only begotten son, that if anyone believes in him, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So that 31.6 million people in the path of totality, if you put that colon there, you get 316. Now, remember 316 because it's going to come back. Remember John 3:16 because it is going to come back. Now, June on our calendar, the 6th month on our calendar, has been named Pride Month. Pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before a big fall. But it's been named Pride Month. Coincidentally, Joe Biden has fallen 2 Junes in a row on Pride Month, by the way. You can look this up. He has fallen twice in June on Pride Month. Now, this is not a coincidence that June, the 6th month, is at play here, because these are ancient rulers of the darkness of this world we're dealing with. So if these are ancient rulers of the darkness we're dealing with, they're going to work in cycles. Even further evidence, in New York. Now, New York has a city named Nineveh, which is in the path of totality, okay? There's a lot of persecution happening in New York right now. There is a gross abuse of the justice system. There is that disgusting golden statue looking like Ishtar above the New York City courthouse, where the New York Times wrote a headline that says, "Move over, Moses and Zoroaster. There's a new female lawgiver in town." Do you know when the start of totality of the eclipse happens in New York? 3:16 p.m. I looked this up myself. The path of totality in New York begins at 3:16 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I told you, remember 3:16. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." We have two 3:16s. We have the 31.6 million people in the path of totality, that if you put that colon there, you get 3:16. And then you have the start of totality in New York beginning at 3:16 p.m. The eclipse ends in New York at 3:29 p.m. Okay, so that's 13 minutes, I believe. New York, like I said, contains one of the Ninevehs. I think that's the last Nineveh. There might be one near Maine, I'm not sure, but before Canada, because there's a Nineveh in Nova Scotia, I believe. Now, the eclipse ends in New York at 3:29 p.m. It begins at 3:16. It ends at 3:29. Guess what happens this year on 3/29, which is March 29th? Good Friday. You can't make this stuff up. Good Friday, when we acknowledge the death of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, on the cross. So in New York, it begins at 3:16 p.m. "For God so loved the world, he sent his one and only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." It ends at 3:29 p.m. And March 29th this year is Good Friday, when we acknowledge the death of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, on the cross. You cannot make this stuff up. You just can't. There's too much there. My jaw was open for the past few days putting this all together, because it's absolutely incredible. Now, the Lord is not only warning the nations, but also the justice system in New York and the United States of America. This is a warning to them as well. Who truly is going to have the victory ultimately in this? Who is the righteous judge, Almighty God? The judges are being judged. The leaders are being judged and weighed by Almighty God in this time. And the people of the nation of the United States of America, we need to humble ourselves before Almighty God, because he is speaking and we have to listen. Jesus himself had said to the Pharisees, "A wicked generation seeks a sign. There is no greater sign than the sign of Jonah." And this eclipse is passing more than 8 cities named Nineveh in its path of totality that happens to be 3 31.6 million people, 316. This is no coincidence, because it was Jesus himself that said, there's no greater sign than Jonah. You shall only have the sign of Jonah. So all of this is connected. Now, this is also a warning to leadership and those being persecuted. Fully repent of everything you have done. Repent of it before the Lord that is displeasing, that was dishonest, that was wrong, that was infidelity. Repent of it and surrender yourselves, your family, and all that you have to the Lord fully for the Lord to redeem this. This is something else. This is a warning in the middle of this. Now, moving on. How is the 2017 eclipse different than the 2024 eclipse? Now, we have an article here. How the 2024 eclipse, this is from NASA, total solar eclipse is different than the 2017 eclipse. And it happens to go into basically the differences. But there's something interesting. The path of totality, where viewers can see the moon totally block the sun, which would reveal the sun's outer atmosphere. You know what that's called? Do you know what that rim is called when there's a full solar eclipse and the moon comes like this with the sun and you see that fiery outer rim? It's called a corona. It's called a corona. And they're saying that this corona is much wider during the upcoming solar eclipse than it was during the 2017 eclipse. It's called the corona. That's what that fiery rim is called when there's a full solar eclipse. And this corona is wider than the corona of 2017. As the moon orbits the Earth, its distance from our planet varies. During the 2017 solar eclipse, the moon was a little bit farther away from the Earth than it will be during the upcoming total solar eclipse, causing the path of that eclipse to be a little skinnier. In 2017, the path ranged from about 62 to 71 miles wide. During the April eclipse, the path over North America will range between 108 and 122 miles wide. Meaning at any given moment, this eclipse covers more ground. This eclipse covers more ground. Now, being that the sun's outer rim on a full solar eclipse is called a corona, and the Great American Eclipse happened in 2017, well, 2.5 years after the eclipse of 2017, it wasn't even that long, it was about 2 years after the Great American Eclipse, the coronavirus, the pandemic, and all hell trying to break loose happens. Okay? So I don't think it's any mistake that they call this rim a corona. And that this corona, this rim is wider than the one of 2017. But 2 years after the Great American Eclipse, coronavirus, the pandemic, and all hell trying to break loose hits. Now, the eclipse on our calendar is April 8th, 2024, which is the Gregorian calendar. However, on the Jewish calendar, it is the month of Nisan. Nisan 1, to be exact. This is the beginning of the ecclesiastical calendar on the Jewish calendar. So on the first day of the ecclesiastical year, the eclipse is happening. Day one of the ecclesiastical year on the Jewish calendar, the eclipse is happening. I don't think that's any mistake either. Also being this eclipse actually passes, like we said, more than 8 cities named Nineveh between the United States of America and Canada, the book of Jonah comes into play, which we had just touched on a few minutes ago. And the last broadcast, we went in depth about this, about Jonah and Nineveh and what happened. Now, The interesting part about this is in the book of Jonah, because it's written in Hebrew, the numerical value for great fish, because remember, a great fish came and swallows Jonah, and he sat in the belly of that great fish for 3 days because he ran from God when the Lord told him the first time to go to Nineveh, and he ends up in the belly of a great fish, okay? Now, the numerical value of great fish is 50, which is the Jubilee. 50, the number 50 is the Jubilee. The letter Nun, N-U-N, in the Hebrew alphabet means fish or seed. Now, I don't know if we could get up a picture of the letter Nun so you can see. There it is. Thank you. But this means, the letter Nun means deceit, kingship, fish, miscarriage, or miracle. So, if you look at these things together, a deception by the king will bring a miscarriage that will trigger a miracle. If you sort of look at the meanings of this together, you sort of get a sentence like that. But Nun means fish or seed in this case, in the book of Jonah, and has great fish has the numerical value of 50. Now, the one you're seeing here, this the way this Nun is written, this is the way it's written in the Torah roll script. So this is the way it's written in the Torah, basically. Now, since the numerical value of great fish, because in the Hebrew alphabet, letters have numerical value. So then great fish is 50, which is the Jubilee. Leviticus 25, 8 through 17 explains the Jubilee. And this is what it says. You are also to count off 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself. 7 times 7 years, so that you have the time of the 7 Sabbaths of year. That is 49 years. You shall then sound a ram's horn, a shofar, abroad on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. You shall sound a horn all through your land. So you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim a release throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his family. You shall have the 50th year as a jubilee. You shall not sow nor harvest its aftergrowth, nor gather grapes from its untrimmed vines, for it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. Verse 13, on this year of Jubilee, each of you shall return to his own property. Furthermore, if you make a sale to your friend or buy from your friend's hand, you shall not wrong one another. Corresponding to the number of years after the Jubilee, you shall buy from your friend. He is to sell to you according to the number of years of crops. In proportion to a greater number of years, you shall increase its price. And in proportion to fewer years, you shall decrease its price. Because it is the number of crops that he is selling to you. So you shall not wrong one another, but you shall fear your God. For I am the Lord your God. So basically what this translates to is the year of Jubilee is the 50th year. It takes 7 Shemitahs to make a Jubilee because 7 years is a Shemitah year. Every 7 years is a Shemitah year. It takes 7 Shemitah cycles to make a Jubilee. The celebration of the Jubilee year involves a time of sacred rest, liberation, and forgiveness. The name comes from the instrument used to mark its launch. In this case, the instrument in question is the yobel, or the ram's horn, better known as the shofar, used to proclaim the Day of Atonement. This Jewish holiday occurs every year, but it takes on special significance when it marks the beginning of a Jubilee year. We can find an early indication of it in the Bible. A Jubilee year was to be marked every 50 years, since this would be an extra year. One which would happen every 7 weeks of 7 years, 49 years. Even though it wasn't easy to organize, it was intended to be marked as a time to reestablish a proper relationship with God, with one another, and with all of creation, and involve the forgiveness of debts, the return of misappropriated land, and a fallow period for the fields. The Lord is calling us to repentance, forgiveness, and liberation this year, and we must answer that call as a nation and as the people of God. We must seriously and solemnly answer this call to completely turn, for this to completely turn, because we are on the precipice of it. We are on the precipice of just the enemy being frantic because of what's happening, and therefore trying to apply more pressure. And so we have to understand, as the people of God, we have to stand and resist that. You know, we should be doing this all the time, but especially in this year. Now, on the day of this eclipse, April 8th, 2024, I am calling for the blowing of the shofars. Go outside your home across the land and sound the shofar on the day of the eclipse. I'm calling for it because we need to do this as God's people, and I don't care who doesn't like it. This is the Lord's business we must be about right now, and I am calling for the blowing of the shofars on the day of the eclipse. Go outside your home and blow them. Blow them for our deliverance. But if you don't have a shofar, you can go on your phone. You can go on YouTube. They have plenty of videos where the shofar is sounding. Press play, put your volume all the way up, and sound the shofar if you don't have one. Because we need this right now, because this has to do also the sounding of the shofar, not only with Rosh Hashanah, but Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the holiest day of the year. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord and do on this, because this is a sound that God recognizes. The blowing of the shofars is a sound from God's people that he recognizes before his throne, and I'm calling for it. If you have one, go out on April 8th, 2024 and blow it. If you don't, get the sound up on YouTube of a shofar blowing and turn your volume all the way up. Because I'm going to tell you something. Where Christianity gets lost is that they negate the fact that the Bible that we read was written by Jews. And the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And we have to understand that we have to go back to the original text under the guise it was written, under the time period it was written, and how it is written, Old and New Testament, to really understand the scriptures. And so we cannot separate Christianity completely from the Jewish faith, because Jesus was a Jew. He was a Jew. He walked this earth. He fulfilled the law. He was a Jew. And we have to understand that. And it's about time we just kind of accept that. And it gives us a better understanding in our Christian walk of who Yeshua was, than completely blowing it off, because that's where the church has gotten superficial and led so many sheep astray and down a road of perdition they should have never gone down. So I just wanted to say that, because some people wonder, well, why is she telling people to blow the shofars? Well, it's in the Old Testament. It's in the Old Testament. And they even did it, I believe, in the New Testament. Rosh Hashanah, they're blowing shofars, Jewish people. Okay. So let me show you what else the Lord led me to. Now, this is where the eclipse gets compounded and gets even more interesting. So what happened was, I looked up when the next blood moon is. The next blood moon will occur, which is a lunar eclipse, March 13th to 14th, 2025. The lunar eclipse will begin at 11:57 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on March 13th and end at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on March 14th. So the Lord says to me, go look up when Purim is in 2025. And I look like a deer in headlights because I went and looked it up. Purim 2025 begins the evening of March 13th and goes to sundown Friday, March 14th. Purim 2025, there is going to be a blood moon and a lunar eclipse. About 11 months after this solar eclipse. So 11 months about after this full solar eclipse, you are going to have a blood moon and a lunar eclipse on Purim, which has to do with the Book of Esther, which has to do with the deliverance of God's people, divine reversals, high government officials being judged and fallen for trying to destroy the people of God. Okay, now, Purim. Fully ends, I believe, at sundown on Friday, March 14th. I'll double check that. Now, Purim is celebrated originally on the 14th day of the Hebrew month of Adar. It was the 14th of Adar that Haman had cast lots for and set for the day of the Jews' destruction, tricks King Ahasuerus into signing a decree for their destruction, offers 10,000 talents of silver, which is equal to about $160 million today, for their destruction, and the Lord raises up Esther and Mordecai to operate in a mighty way to help deliver the people of God from complete extermination. Now, what happens during a lunar eclipse? Because it's also called a blood moon. And we have a picture of it. We'll show you in a minute. But a lunar eclipse happens when Earth is directly between the moon and sun. Earth blocks the light coming from the sun, casting a shadow on the moon. The shadow makes the moon appear much dimmer and sometimes turns the lunar surface a striking red. The moon appears red because the light that is illuminating it must pass through the Earth's atmosphere, which scatters blue light and bends or refracts red light towards the moon. There is a really good picture of a blood moon. This is set to occur Purim 2025, just 11 months after this full solar eclipse that is going to happen April 8th, 2024. Now, what's interesting is we have the full solar eclipse occurring this year between Purim and Passover. So we have this full-on solar eclipse occurring April 8th, which is smack in between Purim and Passover this year. And actually, the eclipse is 14 days before the start of Passover, which begins April 22nd, 2024. And a blood moon that occurs Purim 2025. So you got the eclipse between Purim and Passover. You got the blood moon actually happening on Purim. The last blood moon occurred November 8th, 2022. You know what happened November 8th, 2022? The midterm elections. The last blood moon was the day of the 2022 midterm elections. Republicans took control of the House. Democrats took control of the Senate. So 17 months after this blood moon occurs on the midterms, April 8th, 2024 is the full solar eclipse. And then 11 months after that, you have another blood moon. So you really have a full solar eclipse smack in between two blood moons that happened on very significant days. And so basically, I think that's quite amazing. Okay. It's interesting because, hold on one second here. I want to make sure this has nothing to do with something with Chris's mom or anything else. but nope. Okay. No, we're good. I just wanted to make sure because, you know, I'm on call for that right now. Okay. So we have that. So we have the blood moon, November 8th, 2022. We have the eclipse. We have the next blood moon, Purim 2025. Now, you have 17 months after the blood moon of November 8th, 2022 on the midterms. You have the full solar eclipse, April 8th, 2024. 1 plus 7, 17 months. 1 plus 7 equals 8. So you have that number 8, right? 17 months, 1 plus 7 equals 8. You have the 8 from April 8th, which is the eclipse. And if you add 2024 together, you get the number 8. So you have triple 8s having to do with the blood moon and the solar eclipse. You have triple 8s. So you have 17 months between the blood moon of the midterm elections and the full eclipse on April 8th. So 1 plus 7 is 8. You have the 8 from April 8th. And 2024, 2 plus 2 is 4 plus 4 is 8. There's your third 8. So you have triple 8s, basically, what's going on here. Now, why is that important? Well, 8 times 3 is 24. March 24th, 2024 is Purim. And if you take and add up the date of Purim this year, March 24th, 2024, right? 24, 24, and 2. You get 50, which is the Jubilee, which is the number of the great fish that was in the book of Jonah who went to Nineveh, and you've got the more than 8 Ninevehs on this eclipse, and it's all connected because Jonah goes to Nineveh to pronounce God's judgment. Now, if you look at this date further of Purim this year, and you add 24 and 24, you leave out the two altogether, you get 48. The 2028 presidential election would be for the 48th president of the United States. 2028 is the next Shemitah year. Now, a Shemitah year on the Jewish calendar occurs every 7 years. It takes 7 Shemitahs to make the Jubilee, the 50 years. The banking crisis of 2008 happened on a Shemitah year. Okay? So Shemitah years tend to have very serious events that happen. And we have to keep in mind that our next presidential election is going to fall on a Shemitah year, and that the banking crisis that occurred also happened on a Shemitah year. This is no coincidence. This is why you have to look at numbers. God is a God of numbers. Look at the word of God if you don't believe me, but he is a God of numbers. And all of this is interwoven together for good reason, because the Lord is most definitely speaking. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening? Are we being like the sons of Issachar to discern the times and the seasons of God? We have to be that way right now. The sons of Issachar were known for being able, which is the tribe of Issachar, being able to discern the times and seasons of God. We have to be like the sons of Issachar right now. We have to ask the Lord to fill us with that wisdom right now, because the Lord is definitely speaking, and there is so much interwoven between all of this together that only Almighty God could put it together. And when you see signs in the heavens like this, and you have an eclipse sandwiched in between two blood moons, a full solar eclipse sandwiched in between two blood moons that happen on two major dates, the midterms and Purim coming up in 2025, and then 3 years after that is 2028, which is the presidential election, which is the Shemitah year. So all of this is coming within a, if you start from the blood moon, it's coming within a 6-year period. It's coming within a 6-year period. What hour was it when darkness fell over the land? When Christ was about to die, it was the sixth hour when darkness fell over the land. And now we've got this six-year period where you've got these signs in the heavens that are coming one after the other about every 2 years, approximately. And the question is, you know, are we listening? Are we listening? Are we paying attention to the fact that God is the God of the universe? And what is in the universe is at his disposal to move on humanity, to get them to humble themselves before him to save their nation. Peter Navarro went into prison today. He entered prison today on the heels of Purim. 4 days prior to Purim, this man enters prison. This man entered prison today. So when we see these things happening on the heels of this next 40-day period coming up, which is Purim, Eclipse, Passover, right? And also within this six-year window, we have to pay attention. So please pray for Peter and his family, first of all, and pray for his safety, that not one hair on his head is harmed, or so help them God, the person that did it, the Lord will deal ever so severely with. So we have to pay attention to these things. And we have to understand that God calls us a peculiar people. We are designed by God in our spirits, in our minds, in our souls to recognize these. We are designed by God to recognize these on the earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are in the world. We are not of the world. We are salt and light, and God uses us to help shine spotlights and to help cleanse what is happening. And we have to, yes, the 2017 eclipse passed 7 towns named Salem, and we went over that in the eclipse, the sign of Jonah. This was the eclipse part 3, and you could go back and watch that, and we go in depth about Jonah and Melchizedek and the Melchizedek order of the priesthood and Salem and all of this, and we go over that. So you can go back and watch that as well. But I have to tell you, this is one of the most incredible times in history, I believe. And we as the people of God, with the power and authority we've been given under heaven, we have the ability in coming together to make an impact here, to raise a standard for God, to make an impact, to carry that standard, and to cause this ship to turn. We have that power and authority that has been given us through Christ Jesus. Are we using it? Are we using it? Are we paying attention to what the Lord is doing? This is why the meat right now is what's going to help people get through this. It's not the sour milk. It's not the superficial. That's not what's going to get people through this right now. It is going to be the meat, because it is going to nourish them and strengthen their spiritual muscles and grow what the Lord has put in them in the spiritual gifts in order to do during this time what they've been called to do. It's the meat right now that is going to get people through this. The meat of the word. It's the meat. It is not the superficial. It is not being spoon-fed prophecy constantly. Yes, prophecy is wonderful. The Lord gives it to me. I put it out. I make sure it's him before I put it out. But part of the prophetic office, when you hold the office, is teaching. Is not only teaching, but it's giving people the meat. That's part of the prophetic office. And this is what we're trying to do here. So I think this is where we're going to, and I'm all heated up. I'm telling you, I could feel the presence of the Lord, because I'm all heated up over this, and that's what happens. But yet people are saying Peter's going to be released. Just watch. He went in on the heels of Purim. I would not be shocked one iota if a miracle happens here. If a divine reversal happens. But, oh, doubting Peter, you must put your trust in the Lord and praise him even in the prison. You must. And I'm not saying this is easy, but you must. There is scriptural basis for what I am saying. So just pray for him as well. And, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, I pray you got something out of all of this, this labyrinth that we went through of information. But thank you for waiting for me tonight. I appreciate it. My schedule may be a little hectic over the next week or so with what's going on, but we will keep you updated. I am going to be, I'm like, Lord, where do we go from here? After I put this all together, I'm like, Lord, after this, where do you want me to go? I'm sure he will show me, but I can feel my spirit stirring. So that probably means a word is coming, because when I start to feel my spirit start to stir up, I know from the Lord that a word is coming. So I'm going to be in prayer about that. So thank you, everyone. Thank you for hanging in there with us. We're at about an hour and 11 minutes now. Just a couple of things at the end. All glory be to God. We have our team put together these amazing shirts. Joy, the justice of Yahweh. If this ain't a time for the justice of Yahweh, I don't know what is, because we are in that season and it should put the fear of God in all of us. And I mean the healthy fear of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what we should have right now, given all of this that we're seeing. So you can get these at arcofgrace.myspreadshop.com if you like. And we're going to put up QE Strong at the end as well. I wear these patches. You see the green pain patch in the middle? That's the one I happen to use the most. If I wear them a few days in a row, I can really feel a difference. I fight leftover nerve pain and things of that nature from that 17-year battle I went through. And this does help. So you can visit QEstrong.com, use promo code ARC. They do have patches for your pets. We do use them on Toby. And they have patches for all sorts of other things. It's based on quantum physics. There is Toby with his patch. He's so cute. It's an alternative to Big Pharma, basically. And so they have keto immunity patches that help you sleep. And so you can go to QEstrong.com, use promo code ARC if you like. Okay. I know Toby's so cute. He's so cute, but all he wants to do, the dog lives to stand there, wag his tail, and bark at you. I don't know what else to say about Toby, but we had to have someone come over today to help fix some of the speakers in the house. And Toby just stood there wagging his tail and barking at him until we had to put him in his playpen in a little timeout. And then we let him back out to see the gentleman, and the gentleman was very gracious about it. He actually liked seeing all the animals, so that was nice. But yes, little Toby, praise God, he's doing well. We'll give you updates on the other animals as we do future broadcasts, and also on the Sanctuary Facebook page we give updates about the animals as well. So I feel like I just ran a marathon, but praise God, it's all for God's glory, and we're happy to do it. So God bless everyone. Keep the faith. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I speak it because the word of God is living and active. We have to activate it. You know what I actually say when I say something? Lord, let it be activated in accordance with your word. That's what I actually say when I speak scripture. So Psalm 91, Psalm 23, Psalm 34, Psalm 35, all wonderful Psalms to get into, to memorize portions of, and to use, because the word is the sword and we have to activate that sword out of our mouths. In fact, Jesus Christ himself, when he was in the wilderness, that 40-day period, when he was at his weakest, Satan himself appeared to him to tempt him. What did Jesus Christ go back at Satan with? The word. That is how powerful it is. It took three shots of scripture and he was gone. It took three shots out of Jesus's mouth and Satan departed. That's how powerful scripture is. That is our example. Jesus Christ did it himself. We should be doing it as well. Also, Ephesians 1 and 3 from the Believer's Authority. I quote those scriptures from those chapters every single day. And I also armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6 every single day. You can't go into battle without your armor. Put your armor on first thing in the morning. It'll take you 60 seconds. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you put your whole and complete armor on me this day in Jesus' name, according to Ephesians chapter 6. And the Lord's Prayer. There's an order to that prayer. We need to understand the order of that prayer because Jesus taught his disciples to pray that way. So I always encourage everybody to say that also. And remember, praise in your circumstances is a weapon and it accelerates an answer. So I just wanted to encourage you with that as well. So thank you everyone for joining us. We love you. Have a wonderful rest of your evening and we will be back on hopefully this week. We will announce if we do. God bless everyone. Hello everyone, Amanda Grace here. So as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together and we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rapha for women. Rapha means healer in Hebrew, so it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue. It helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural, and I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rapha today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today and Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK. It is an alternative to big pharma based on quantum physics. Over 40 scripture verses written into these patches for everything from blood sugar, anxiety, pain, neuropathy, to immune system boost, dog pain. They are very sincere about having alternatives to big pharma.
We are a big advocate of natural solutions to help with pain and blood sugar and a host of other issues.
I tried the pain patches and they worked when I used them.
When you connect it to your body, the skin patch changes your brainwaves.
Sugar, this one is neuropathy. I actually have it on. And we use this on Toby, actually, because Toby's about 8 years old. And from being paralyzed years ago and the Lord miraculously healing him, he has a little leftover with his joints and his hips. So we actually give him the doggy pain patches.
What was he doing? He was running?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I plucked him out. And wow, he's boom. And he got power. I said, no way. And I don't know. I said, Amanda, what
did you do to him?
To Toby? So it's good.